So if you want to go to Hebrews chapter 11, that's where we're going to start. Hebrews chapter 11. Isn't it great just to read the word with the pure pleasure of reading it? It's so awesome. You know, George has just finished school for his 200th year and final year. I imagine it must be great for you to just sleep a little bit and then get up and read the word. It must be fun.
It's great.
Yeah. I love almost nothing more than doing that. I mean, that's so fun. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 and 7, it says in God's word, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In verse 6, it says that God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder. A rewarder is someone who pays you. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And to diligently seek is to crave, to really want to search for it, like you really want to. I've seen believers just cruise through life, go to fellowship, enjoy the people, go home, but their craving for God and his word sometimes wanes. It's not a constant thing like it ought to be. For all of us, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those who really crave God, not in a religious way, but in a heartfelt way, to really want to know about God, to really search for. You know, if we go to God in everything, every single little thing, Bobby, he's going to reward us in a great way. Why do I know that? Because it says so. God's word's more true than our feelings. He's more true than what, you know, what's going on in our life, the tension, the headaches, the heartaches, the aches and pains of the body, whatever the heck that we've got. Well, when you're over 25 or whatever you guys are. You know, he's so much bigger than that. His word's truer than the feelings I have emotionally. His word is true. I'm not true. His word is true. If there's anything true about me, it would be the word. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently crave and seek him. So if you are seeking him, he's going to reward you in a great way. There'll always be a profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, to looking to God with your heart. Not your emotion, your heart, your soul, your very life, your what's in here. You know, too often times when people seek God, they stop sinning. And they think, or they think they stop sinning. And then that God's going to reward them because of that. That's not true. He rewards those that diligently seek him. Go to Genesis. We'll read a little bit about Noah. Chapter 6. One of the greatest things any of us could ever do is to pray. Which, you know, I've been talking about that forever. Genesis 6, verses 5 through 9. It said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts in his heart, of his heart, was only evil continually. I know our world screwed up, but I don't know that it's that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, of man's heart, was only evil continually. And it had repented the Lord that he even made man. And it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, and creeping thing, and fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I made them. But And boy, that's a big but in a word. In contrast to wanting to wipe every human out, and not just every human, every fowl, every bird, every worm, every centipede. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations. And Noah walked with who? He walked with God. Now, God had said this about mankind. He must have not included Noah, because here it describes Noah as a just man, a perfect man in all his generations, and somebody who walked with God. This is the first usage of grace in the Bible. And here again, it means favor or acceptance or pleasantness. Noah found pleasantness in the eyes of God. He found acceptance. Noah was accepted. He was favorable to God. And then it says, Noah was a just man. But just means lawful. It means to be righteous in one's cause. Just means correct. It's kind of like it, in the New Testament, the same thing. Did the things that were right. So Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And he was just. And then it says perfect. And that means he was whole. W-H. He was whole. He was sound. He was unimpaired. Noah, it also means to be innocent. It also means having integrity. Noah was somebody who had integrity. He was unimpaired. He was sound. He was whole. He was innocent. He was just a wonderful man, full of favor, acceptance, and pleasantness. He was righteous. And then it says he walked with God. Walk means to live with, to lead to, or to carry towards. That's great. Noah lived with God, walked with God. He lived with God. Just like we do when we're right on. He was leading to God everything. He carried everything towards God. These are just a couple of verses, just fantastic. And in Hebrews 11:6, again it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, but that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is God. And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And in Genesis 5, verse 21, it says, and Enoch, oh, I love this. And Enoch lived 65 years. That's 65 years. And he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, I find this just so incredible. If you go to Hebrews, go to Hebrews 11 again. 11, 11, 11. In verse 5, it says, by faith or by belief. And remember, Hebrews 11 is like God's, Dr. Rowe referred to it as God's roll call of honor. It's like the hall of fame of great believers in the Old Testament. And here it says, and Enoch's mentioned, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. that he pleased God. Now that's about everything you're ever going to read in the Bible about Enoch. There's no great stories like Samson and all that, or Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal, or Gideon and, you know, the tents and all the donuts that fly through the tents. No. It says he walked with God. It said he pleased God. Well, the next verse right after that says it's impossible to please God without believing. So what did he do? He walked. Yeah, he believed. The word walk means to come to continually. It means to talk to. And it means, and I think it's very appropriate here, to follow. God, the people hate to follow. People like to kind of follow as long as it fits with their program. Enoch walked with God. He followed God. He agreed with God. He came to God constantly. He talked to his father. All it says about Enoch is he pleased God and he walked with God. And we know that it's impossible to please God without believing. So Enoch believed God. It doesn't show of his tremendous walk or anything else. It just says that he did that. Genesis 6. That's a big move, isn't it? Hebrews to Genesis. Yeah. Imagine if we had stones. We'd be here all day. That's a pretty good one. 6. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, guess what? Walked with God. Well, we saw that Enoch walked with God. And here we see again that Noah was a just man. We read that. He was a perfect man. He was whole. The word perfect means whole, sound, unimpaired, having integrity. But he walked with God. He lived with. He inclined himself toward God. That's what he did. My gosh, that's just so fantastic, you know. Look at chapter 8, Genesis 8:21. You ever notice how much, like in the first 8 or 9 chapters of Genesis, there's just like everything? It's incredible. You're reading Genesis. It'd be a good thing for us to do this week. Read the first 10 chapters of Genesis just for fun. Don't stop and look every word up. Just read it. And then go look them up if you want to. Look at verse 21. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living, as I have done. You realize he wiped out everything on earth, except for Noah and his family. You want to talk about power? And you got a headache? Or I got a backache, or some whatever. He's pretty powerful. You know, he's really powerful. That's an incredible verse. Incredible verse. He said, the Lord smelled. And this word smelled here is the sense, like a scent, S-C-E-N-T, of something beautiful, something delightful, something beautiful. He smelled, and it also means rest. He smelled. He smelled a scent of delight. He smelled rest. A sweet, and that means a soothing, a quieting, and a tranquil. That's what he smelled. A sweet soothing, scent of delight, quieting, tranquil, savor. And that means aroma or fragrance. In the last 30 years or so, people have discovered that essential oils are something that really help the body and bless the body and calm people down. Calm people down. I should live in a bottle of lavender or something so I could stay cool. You know, and I'm sure those things work, but look at God and his essential oil. It smelled sweet, savor. Wow. Look at chapter 9. I just think that's cool. Verse 17 of chapter 9. It says, "And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon earth." Man, a covenant is a pledge. It's a promise. I'm blown away by Noah. He just had to be one of the most incredible people that ever lived. If the whole world and everything in it, including his own family, was so screwed up, and here was this, in their eyes, I'm sure, nutty man, banging away, building something that never had existed before. Something that he referred to as an ark, but probably never heard that word before. He just followed. He listened to God. The operation of God, you see from God, certain truths or facts that are humanly impossible for you by your five senses to know anything. Well, Noah didn't know nothing about no ark, except what God told him. And I imagine he told him how to build it. I can't imagine God telling me to build anything. It would break like crazy unless he would tell me what to do, how to do it, what to do, because I'm not a mechanic or I'm not a carpenter or anything. I'm not much of anything, really. But he promised that he had he made a promise to establish between him and all flesh that was upon earth. He would never wipe the earth out again. And I can't imagine what it would be like to do something that you really never saw before for 120 years. And I know the years back then were shorter. No, they weren't. And I doubt that everybody was going, "This is great, Noah. Thank God for your life, man. Keep on banging those nails," or whatever he did. Diane and I and Debbie and Randy and Michael and Liz Gilmore went to Kentucky where that replica of the ark is, and you know, they had all these details in it. Half of them were right, half of them were wrong within the framework of the ark. I would have paid the money just to see the visual. It was to scale. It's just, it was gigantic. And 120 years following God for 120 years with no apparent fruit. Probably your wife going, "What that? Moses, you're off your rocker or something," you know. 2 Peter chapter 2. It's impossible to please God without believing. That's quite a verse. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder." Gosh, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it said, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." 120 years building something that made no sense knowledge. And he didn't spare the old world. He wiped it out. Yet Noah pleased God by doing what he was told to do. He followed what God said to follow. And he walked with and he walked for God all the time. There was quite a prophet. He was the eighth person. The number eight in the Word of God represents a new beginning. And that certainly was a new beginning. And this word preached, a preacher rather, that's the first time that's used in the Word of God also. And Noah was referred to as a preacher of righteousness. Boy, you may have 50 people say no when you ask them to come to fellowship and you feel bad. And maybe the 51st person comes. 120 years. A preacher of righteousness. That's quite a thing. Now, the Bullinger boys, you need to go to work here, because I have down the scale that Dr. Werwell had shared on a Sunday night, and I don't know if this is accurate or not. I don't remember what they said in Kentucky. Oh, I was just in awe of looking at the stupid thing. But he said it was 450 feet to 500 feet long, 75 to 80 feet wide, and 50 feet tall. So, if that is the right dimensions, that's huge. Any way you slice it, that's pretty dang big. Hebrews 11, again, verse 6. For without believing, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, to believe really is to agree. You agree with God with confidence. You go, yes, God, that is true. And then you line yourself up. No matter what the circumstance, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, there are times in life when you find out if you believe the word or not. You know, where do you go to? You know, that accident I had was still fresh in my mind. I fought like crazy to hold the word, and I was successful. And it was really, since now, it's pretty hard. But I was successful. It's weird, because I don't look at myself ever as some great believer or some great achiever or some great anything, because I know I'm not. But I do know that God is my Father, and he called me before the foundations of the world to be holy and without blame before him in love. I know that his word says I'm more than a conqueror. I know that he says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know it says I can do all things, that it says I can, he'll supply all my needs, that I'm more than a conqueror, all those things. And I have no doubt about that. And that, you know, I can say that. Lots of preachers say it. Lots of people say it. And it's a good thing to say. But is that what's really in your heart? Is that, do you agree with God on that? You know, there's that. I'd never heard this record until my wife Joyce shared it. About, it was Jeremiah, and God told him to put on a skirt and don't let any water in it. Take it to a crack in a mountain someplace. So he did. Didn't hear nothing from God for a long time. And then God said, go get the skirt or whatever it was. He went and got it. And then God told him that that skirt was like the children of Israel or whoever it was that he was representing at the time. What a man. Following God, agreeing with God, doing what God says. And you know, you could say you're Ronald Revelation and God talks to you all the time. I'm glad, you know, proud of you. But we have a written word that is revelation. And so the more we can go to God's written word for our answers, because it has all things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, the better off we're going to be, regardless of the senses and everything else. God's word's truer than me sitting here. Me sitting here is a fact. God's word is true. It's true. It's true. It's really true. But we got to agree with God before we can really walk with him. We got to agree with him. What if it comes up that there's somebody who shares the word more perfectly with you and you don't like it? Well, then you're not going to get the blessing that God would have for you in those situations. On the other hand, if somebody shares the word of God more perfectly with us that we didn't necessarily agree with, and we go, oh, snap, that's right. Boy, you're going to get the blessing. Yeah. Got to agree with God before we can ever really walk with God. And our walk with God precedes our witness of God. You know, we want people to get in the Word. Well, what kind of walk do we have? Do we have something that people would like? Is your house filthy? Spiritually, physically? Is there peace when people walk through the door? Is there a refuge there? A safety? That happens as a result of someone's walk. That doesn't happen as a result of somebody vacuuming 10 times. Although it's not a bad idea to vacuum. But our walk precedes our witness. Now, I'm not going to make you go there, but you can if you want to. Amos. Amos. Isn't it Amos, Obadiah, something?
What page is that?
It's before that whale book. You know, Jonah. Chapter 3 of Amos. You know, Amos is a great book to read. Amos was a farmer, I think, Randy. Was he? No? What was he? He was a farmer.
She said a herdsman.
A herdsman, okay. Same thing to me. Anyhow, it says in verse 3 of chapter 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, is the answer. That's a figure of speech, actually. It's a question asked already knowing the answer. Can two walk together unless they get along and they agree? Couples have a heck of a time many times because they don't agree. Well, you sit down in a room until you figure it out. And then agree and then walk forward. Anyway, agreed. The word agreed means to set. It means to be fixed. It means to symphonize or to harmonize. Which, you know, we know from music. I've only been to a few symphonies in my life because I'm not particularly fond of that type of music, but I sure did admire it. You know, how all the instruments blended together. You couldn't distinguish, unless it was a solo, a tuba from an oboe or kettle drums. And all these different instruments, cellos, violins, bassoons, and all these great instruments blending together, it's just something really beautiful. Or if you've ever seen a great group that their long suit is harmonies, it's just incredible. Like Diane and I saw Crosby, Stills, and Nash, I don't know, a long time ago. When we were, I don't know when it was, but it was great. I was shocked that they could still sing. But it was amazing. When they hit it, it was just great. And it's like that. One of the reasons I liked the Allman Brothers back in the day was because their guitar solos were simultaneous and they would harmonize with one another. Whether you like the Allman Brothers or not, that impressed me. And harmony is an impressive thing. Whether it's musical harmony, or whether it's harmony in someone's family, like, you know, the Gilmore family. That family is just the greatest family. Michael isn't great. The kids ended up all right because it threw them in the back of a van. No, because the word led, you know, the Hunt family like that. You know, it's just fantastic. Matthew 18. You know, our prayer life ought to be consistent with what the word says. You know, when we pray with our understanding, which is, we should. But it'd be a good idea if our prayer with our understanding agreed with the word, and that it wasn't just something we thought we should have, or we thought. Now, I'm not saying don't pray for stuff, because you should. You could pray for anything. That's one of the types of prayer, specific requests and stuff like that. But, man, it's really great when our prayers line up with what God's word says. And at 18, is it, did I say? Verse 19. Yeah. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree, and there's that word, symphonize, on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Man, that's a powerful verse. Look at John chapter 4. That's why the whole prayer partner thing is such a tremendous thing to do. It's tremendous to have someone that you can pray with regularly and, you know, dial in on the word and what you're praying for and watch those things come to pass. It's kind of, well, it's not kind of, it's really awesome to be able to do that. Today, I had gotten Diane a birthday gift. Not going to say what it was. But I got her a birthday gift and I really thought it would bless her. And I was so excited. But it hadn't happened yet. And so looking forward to it happening. Look forward to it happening. Then today I got news that it wasn't going to happen. That actually I got ripped off and everything else. Well, I felt horrible. So horrible I cried. Because I wanted to bless Diane so much. And I called Diane and so on. And I was upset as crazy. So what I do about it? I got upset. And I went for a walk. And as I walk, I just pray. And that's usually what I do when I walk. Pray, pray, pray. By the time I got home, I settled down. I knew what to do. I did it, and it looks like she'll still get her gift. Now, that's a silly example, but, and it is, you know, whether, I don't understand God, just how kind He is, but I do know that when we're upset or troubled about something, that's where we need to go. And you need to do whatever it is you need to do. I like to go for drives, but at this point, number one, I don't have a car, and number two, I'm not allowed to, unless mommy gives me the keys occasionally. But she did so lovingly yesterday. She trusted me to go to Target. Fantastic. John 4, verse 34. It says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Well, what is our meat? What did He call us to do? What is it that we have to offer to the world? We have salvation. God wants us to speak the word at a drop of a hat, and even not at a drop of a hat, all the time. He wants us to speak His word. He wants us to reach out to people and help them. Jesus Christ, meet what He was called to do was to do the will of God. And He knew He was a sent one. And to finish His work. Well, God's work isn't finished yet, and we're not going to be the ones that finish it. But certainly there's a lot of things in God's word, in the church epistles, and other places where God asks the believers like us to do certain things because He doesn't have any hands. He doesn't have any feet. God doesn't have a mouth like we do. He doesn't have comeliness. He doesn't have a form. We do. We have a mouth. We have a life. And that life is to bless people, to help people. Look at chapter 5. Verse 30. Look what the Lord said. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I don't seek my own will. Boy, how many of us can really say that? Don't seek my own will. But the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. How about that? I can of my own self do nothing. Well, but the will of the Father which has sent me. What is it that we seek? You know, things, stuff, junk. I like things, stuff, and junk. But what is above the things and stuff and junk? I would hope that it's God. I hope that it's His Word. And I'd hope that it would be blessing other people. I really enjoy blessing other people. In my limited way, I enjoy doing it. And so do you. And I thought, but the will of Him that sent me. The greatest secret in the world today is that the Bible is the revealed Word and will of God. Or that the Word of God is the will of God. So he didn't seek his own will, but he sought the Word of God. He sought doing the Word of God. That's what he wanted done. That's what Jesus Christ wanted to do. The will of God. He wanted to do God, his Father's will. And he knew God was the one who sent him. What's that word sent to deliver a message? What is that word? Anybody remember that?
Caruso?
No. Well, we'll just have to wait for the Bollinger Boys to work that out. Acts chapter 5. It's not Caruso.
That's Harold.
Right. Acts 5. That's one of those words, though. Acts 5, verse 9. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you... This is what, you know, I don't ever want to see this happen at fellowship. And he said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they're going to carry you out. So that's great. The point I'm getting to here, if there is a point to be made, it is to symphonize. She had symphonized with her husband. She had a devilish symphony. And it cost them dearly. It cost them their lives. They agreed together. Just like if any two of you should agree, it'll be done. Do you want this? Oh, see, she had it.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah, but you tried to intercept it.
Thank you.
Good throw.
Oh, yeah. They agreed, anyway, it wasn't good for Ananias and Sapphira. So, back to Noah, he saw God's will come to pass because he agreed with God. For 120 years, banging on those whatever kind of nails they had or whatever kind, gopher barky barky, I don't know what it was. I'll say it looked just like the one in Kentucky. And that was just huge, awesome, huge. Noah walked with God because he agreed with God. Enoch walked with God because he agreed with God, because he believed God. He pleased God. Hebrews 11:6 again says, it's impossible. What does it say?
Without believing it's impossible.
Without believing it's impossible to please God. But he must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of all those who come to God and seek him diligently. What is it that we seek diligently? You know, through the years in the Word of God, I've found that when I'm in the Word on a consistent basis, I can't get enough of it. But then if I have 2 or 3 days to float around, it takes me a while to get back in that habit. I don't know about you, but when you're in it, man, it's so fun. It's so electrifying. It's so great. Really great. So Jesus Christ, you know, getting back to this, he was somebody who did believe. He was someone who pleased God. Remember what he said? God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well what?
Pleased."
The reason he was well pleased with his son was because his son did his will. Just like us that are parents, when our children do what's right, or, you know, when they get a little older even, they call you for counsel occasionally and ask for help. And you help them, and they do it, and then they succeed. Jesus Christ was the sterling example of all this. He was the one who diligently sought God all the time. Not my will be done, but thy will, you know, all that stuff. And he profited from it. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. God's word says in Philippians, which is a reproof epistle, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." God wants us to be like his son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to be like that. And he wants us to profit. He wants us to see the healings that he saw. He'd like us to deliver people like he delivered people. He'd like us to kick out spirits, which happened tonight before fellowship, which was awesome. But, you know, in it to win it, man, all the time. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. All the time ready. When you're in a good mood, when you're in a bad mood, whether you're eating, that seems to be a convenient time for others to call me. Or, you know, whether I'm watching a baseball game or not, even a baseball game, you got to be ready. Watching the Mets has been no pleasure for me. It's like watching the A's. Poor Estelle. Galatians. I actually thought about, for half a second last night, never watching another baseball game. But then, very quickly, I reproved myself. You know, for me, watching baseball is one of the most settling things. Well, maybe not. It can be. It's quiet. You know, they're not, you know, it's nice. You sit, you pray, you think. I do a lot of that when I watch baseball. It's because of baseball that I'm the man I am today. No. Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of it, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And in order for all those things, love, joy, peace, and all those things to really manifest themselves, to really, really blossom like beautiful fruit, we've got to agree with God, man. We've got to agree with God. Now, I don't know why this sharing reminds me of prayer, but it does. The stuff I was looking up, it just made me think of praying, you know, and to have my prayer life lined up with what God's will is. So if I really do, and I really agree with the Word of God, then those things are going to come to pass. I'm going to see them. And they do. And we do see them. But if we're going to see this fruit really like blossom, really grow, like beautiful flowers or whatever, we got to agree with God. And we got to believe what God has freely made available to us. And then our walks will be genuine. Then our walks will be filled with fruit. And, you know, the great band, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, said, give it away, y'all. What good would it be if I just had Holy Spirit? What good would it be? I mean, I'd be blessed, but gee whiz, if I couldn't give it to somebody else, if I couldn't bless people with what God's blessed me with, it wouldn't be anywhere near as fun. And I want our walks to be genuine. And I want the fruit to manifest itself in our lives so greatly that it attracts people. Like a beautiful fragrance we read about earlier, you know. That our lives can be a witness because we are blossoming grapefruit, love, joy, peace that comes out of us. Without anything being said, it's just the way we are. And that attracts people. So, believing is agreeing wholeheartedly with God. And it says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Nothing wavering. And there's always a profit to believing. So that's what I wanted to share. Father, thank you for your love, your grace, and how simple your word is. Thanks, Father, for these people, for continuing to bless them. Take good care of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I'm not done. Go to James. Sorry. I knew there was something wrong with the end of that. The prayer was good and the teaching's good, but look at James chapter 1. Move it, Curly. But let them, verse 6, ask in believing, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave in the sea, driven by the wind, tossed. Yeah, so when we ask God and believe it, we don't waver. We don't go back on it. We don't go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We stay in there. This is funny teaching. Hebrews 10. This is like a fellow labor teaching. Stop, and then I teach longer than I did before. Verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that is promised. He's faithful that is promised. Guys, what a great verse. John 14:12. You know it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. He that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, the works that he did, we're going to do also. You know, I really believe that unless there's signs, miracles, and wonders manifested, there won't be much fruit. You might get somebody to come to fellowship, but you can get a donkey to come to fellowship. Okay? By your fruit you shall know them. Learn that from Don Werewolf. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without believing. So let's agree wholeheartedly with God. That's the end of it.